Connecting the dots of strange anomalies, making it safe to tell your stories of high strangeness, and looking for the truth from Brazil to your own backyard. Hey, everybody, I'm Connie Willis, not afraid to go there, and this is Coast to Coast AM. Hey, how's it going? I cannot believe this. I am on Coast to Coast AM, broadcasting to many of my friends and family that listen to this all the time. Some people were like, what, you're on Coast to Coast? What did you do to deserve that, Connie? Well, I'm just happy whatever I did, because we have a great show. I'm real excited. I'm going to talk to a couple of my friends tonight. One of them is Dr. David Jacobs. We're going to be talking to him first for an hour. And I got to tell you, with Dr. David Jacobs, and I'm sure he can hear me right now, but with David, it's very hard to talk to him for just 1 hour. He's a guy that can go on, and you know, you love it, because he's extremely interesting. This is when you wish it was television only, because if you've ever seen him, he's the most animated man in the world. So when he tells his stories, picture Einstein, kind of Italian, with the hands going and his animation. He's wonderful. Without the hands actually moving, it's more in his face. But wonderful man. I'm looking forward to talking to him about, because we only have an hour, we're going to basically ask one question to him, and that's going to be, do ETs or hybrids walk amongst us? And I'm looking very forward to hearing what he has to say, because I know he's done some new research. And anyway, I'm excited about that. Also, one of my other friends, Bishop James Long. I think I was supposed to set an alarm and call him myself to make sure he woke up. A lot of people call him Father. He's like a brother to me. He and I have a brother-sister relationship. We're going to talk about his demonology class that he has. We're also going to talk about, he is an actual exorcist. He's done 27 to date. When I actually met him, he did 24. So in the past 4 to 5 years, he's had three other ones. And it's extremely rare for real exorcisms to occur. We're going to talk to him about that, and he's going to make some distinctions for you. I'm also going to throw in a couple other questions to James, because I want to see where God fits in to the ET, the abduction, the hybrid stuff that we're going to hear from Dr. David Jacobs. Now, I'm broadcasting from Philadelphia, the iHeartMedia studios. They're unbelievable. I tell you what, I did a lot of radio years and years ago, and I've done a lot of TV in between. And by the way, I'm here because I also have a passion for the paranormal. So I've, you know, wherever I go, this stuff comes to me. I don't really have to chase it down. But amazing studios here. So we're broadcasting from Philadelphia, again, the iHeartMedia studios. And it's funny because actually the show comes out of a CBS affiliate here, and that's WPHT 1210. Wonderful station. I'm just very happy to be here in a gigantic market and a wonderful studio talking to some incredible people. And wow, Mr. George Norrie, thank you so much last night for promoting me for tonight's show. Very kind. And I'm excited. So let's have a good time tonight. Again, Dr. David Jacobs, the first hour. Then we're going to bring in Bishop James Long, and we're going to talk about some scary stuff. I mean, Halloween's on its way. And then we're going to take some calls from you. So get ready, get prepared. We're going to have a good night tonight. Anybody want to send some pizza? Philly's the place to do it. So, you know, find where the studios are. And I like pepperoni and sausage. All right. Don't throw any green peppers on there. I'm not looking forward to that. Anybody, everybody hang on there. We've got a great night. I am so excited about this. I'm Connie Willis, and this is Coast to Coast AM. You're listening to Coast AM. This is Connie Willis with you. Hope everybody's having a good night and ready to hear some really, really cool stuff, because I'm excited to bring on Mr. David Jacobs. I think there's an M in there. I'm going to guess it's for Michael. The doctor is here. Hey, David, how are you?
Good. And in fact, it is for Michael.
I knew it. Yay. I get points for that, right?
Lots.
I get some, maybe a Chinese dinner from you again. It was fun that you and I went and got some Asian one time. David lives not too far from the studio, so I was hoping to get him here, but I'm just happy to have you on the line. David, I guess we met like 4 to 5 years ago, And here we are now.
Actually, maybe even a little, well, I guess around that, yeah.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, but now, listen, Connie, I know that you have had a many years' experience in radio, so don't sell yourself short.
Did I do that?
No, but you. I just know that you've had that you are an experienced.
That's true. I started when I was 3, so I had 15 years of radio in Louisville, Lexington, San Antonio, Orlando, Sarasota, a lot of television, and here I am now getting to do something better than any of all that, and that is talk about this type of stuff on Coast to Coast AM. I'm telling you, this is the dream gig. And David, you're one of my favorite people because, you know, I grew up around ghosts and this and that because we had a haunted house. You know, I grew up in a haunted house. You know, we'll go there. But, you know, when you've done that, you know, at one point you're so sensitive to things that you want to go on to deeper and deeper things. And those deeper and deeper things where you try to connect the dots, things like ETs, UFOs, hybrids, and that's where you come in. You are the man. Now, I think you're like the number one guy with abductions, correct?
Well, I don't know.
Well, let's think about it.
I've devoted my almost entire adult life to studying UFOs. And since I'm 109 years old, that does count.
Yes, I wasn't going to go there. Well, you know, we only have an hour with you. I really wish we had longer because you are just fantastic to talk with. So let's go ahead and let's ask one good giant question. I know that you've been working on a book lately, and we're it's either going to be like hybrids, humbrids, something like that. But let's go to the bottom line, and that is, are there hybrids, are there ETs walking amongst us? We know you've studied abductees or contactees, whichever somebody wants to accept, for many, many decades now. Again, you're 109. So with the hour that we have here, tell me, are they walking amongst us?
Well, in fact, I think the title of the new book, which comes out in 2015 sometime.
Finally. Hello.
December, right. I think if it comes out in December, I just don't hold your breath. Anything can happen. but the title of it right now, as of yesterday, basically, is Walking Among Us.
Oh, hey, okay, because I know at one point you were going to do hybrids, and then you changed it to humbrids.
Well, hybrids, which is another classification that I have in the book for beings who are, in fact, living among us. I might change it to living among us instead of walking among us, but that's what people will have to start getting accustomed to if they're interested in this stuff. And I think that the answer is obviously yes. Now, I hate to say that. Even as I say that, there's a sort of wellspring of embarrassment that surges up in me because it's so off the wall. It's so nutty that even though I've spent decades studying this, and I've only come to the conclusion that this is happening relatively recently, within the last 10 years. that's recent for me, but now I have to say yes that they are living among us. Now here's the situation that everybody should pay careful attention to. If you think you see a hybrid, the person is not a hybrid.
Ooh, and just to verify to verify for everybody, a hybrid, half ET, half human.
Yeah, an alien with human characteristics. Sometimes there's a hierarchy on board UFOs. There's ones who are at the top, and I believe that those are the insect-like ones, and who are the most alien-looking of all. There is sometimes, but infrequently reported, reptilian style ones. People make a big deal of that because the word reptile has been ascribed to them, but in fact, they're relatively uncommon, and they do basically what everybody else does. There's no difference in what they do than any other functions of the aliens. Then there's tall gray aliens and small gray aliens, and when people say the word alien, that's what they think of. That's what's made it into movies, into advertising, into the size of buses, everything.
Right, right, right. The big eyes, the big oval-shaped
eyes. Blue bodies, gray, all that sort of stuff.
Right, right.
Then there's what I call early-stage hybrids who look sort of human and sort of alien. They are ugly. Very, very thin hair. Pointed chins, tiny little noses, but an actual nose, tiny little mouth, but an actual mouth, very thin.
Then David,
yes.
You just described some of the guys I met on Match.com in the past. I just want you to know that. So I have met a few of these. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I digress.
It's funny you should say that because that's where they hang out. Down
but, I can verify that.
Then... there's middle stage hybrids, which look sort of half human and half alien. There's late stage, which look quite human. Maybe the eyes are a little too big. Maybe they don't have any bodily hair. There's human stage ones, which look very human. And there's a few other stages until you get ultimately to what I call human hybrids or hybrids. Just hybrids.
Hybrids, okay.
And these hybrids have a everybody has a function. This is a very smooth running machine from the insect-like ones all the way down. And they all have their functions. And the function of hybrids, my word, sorry about that, but it clarifies things a little bit. Their function is to live here. And they look absolutely, positively, 100% nondescript. They look average in every way. Therefore, if you see a weird-looking person walking down the street, it's not an alien.
Ah, that's just like your neighbor. Okay.
Right. The weird ones don't make it down. The idea is to blend into society. So if somebody, people write to me all the time, say that they know a human hybrid, you know, that they've seen hybrids and this and that. But that would go against what everybody says on the program, and the whole object is to not be seen, is to blend in, is to look normal.
That makes sense.
So the average height, for example, might be 5'9", which is, or 5'9½", which is average for the United States. And they just, there's nothing that signifies weirdness about what they look like. So weird people are, they're okay. You can be around them. That's fine.
That's hilarious how you put that together, but that makes total sense. So,
well,
in the book,
there's a you'll see how it works out. I've got there's a logic to it.
I'm looking forward to that because I know 3 years ago when I first moved to Philly, you told me you had like I guess a couple chapters that you had in your pocket that you carried around with you, and you know how you put the information in that thumb drive, I guess.
Right.
And you would say, I have this, and I just was waiting for this to come out. And here it is. It's still not out. I'm looking forward to it. But, you know, thank goodness we get to talk about it. But, okay, so there's a hybrid walk, and he looks like some normal person. Is there any way at all I can tell at one point, anyway, is there a vibe? Is there the way they act to where I can kind of be suspect that they might be from somewhere else? And are they born of people, or they come right from the ship?
They come right from the ship. Nobody is born. None of these beings know they have a birthday. They don't know how old they are.
Interesting.
Because there's no birthday, so they're not sure. And years are not kept. Birthdays are not celebrated. They've never had a a birthday party, a birthday cake. They've never had wrapped presents while being on board a UFO. They have not been off board a UFO other than training sessions when they're brought down to have an abductee, you know, teach them what a kitchen is, for example, when they're younger, or what a computer is, or what a television is, or things like that. They're all very, very naive when they first come down, extremely nice. But see, it's not that they're just humans. They have one characteristic, one just tiny, hardly noticeable difference about them.
Mm-hmm.
They can control humans mentally, and we cannot control them.
Ah, okay, that's a subtle, yes, uh-huh.
Yeah,
yeah, that's tiny. Wow.
That is a big one. Holy cow. Mind-bogglingly important. It puts them into a different species as opposed
Absolutely.
To just a different kind of citizen. And it makes us into a kind of lesser species because we don't have that ability.
Without a doubt. So you're saying, like, okay, let's say a full-blooded ET would have psychic abilities, and a human, you know, some of us humans have some good stuff going on, but you put together a hybrid, an ET and a human, and, you know, you get that perfect hybrid that is allowed to come down here, they're going to look like us, but they're going to have incredible psychic abilities.
Right. Yes. I'm not sure what you mean by psychic abilities, but
telepathy, I guess.
They can control people's behavior and thoughts. I don't
wow.
think tell the future or things like that, but they can control people.
Yeah, they can tell the future enough to know that, hey, in an hour I'm going to make you cook me a nice steak out on the grill, or I guess they could play around and have a good time too. So does that mean that do they need money?
This is an excellent question.
Thank you. That's why I'm here. I appreciate that.
They do not need money. But they have learned that they have to have money. In other words, if they walk into a store to buy something, they grab whatever they want and they can simply walk out.
Oh, my.
The person who is watching them behind the counter at a register or something like that will look at them and wave goodbye and be all happy because that person is controlled.
Wow.
But there's so many different levels to this. It gets very complicated. Generally speaking, they are told by abductees that they must have money. They can't just steal things. So the question is, where do they get their money? I do not know that. It could be from abductees. It could be from walking into a bank and asking a teller for money. I don't
know. Right. Wow. Or, maybe they can have, maybe they have access to gold or something like that, and maybe they can exchange it at a pawn shop or somewhere, or take it to one of these gold places and get cash back. No?
That would be complicated.
Oh, okay.
It's easier just to have the abductee give them money.
Oh, poor abductee.
Or just go walk into a bank if they know what a bank is.
Even better. Wow. So, as well, too, I don't know, I can go into a lot of questions there, so maybe I should go to this before the break. Do we need to be concerned? I mean, why are they here? Do we need to be concerned? Are they friendly?
This is a very, very difficult question to answer. They themselves are friendly. They are nice, they are good, they are kind, all that sort of stuff. Well, maybe not kind, but they're good. I don't know if they can be kind. They've been born and raised by aliens on a UFO. They come down when they're around between 16 and 18, 19 years old. But their lifetime has been spent being taught on how to be a human by abductees on board or else visiting abductees in their homes. But that's not living in the society. That means they're still living on board a UFO. They are not living in a planetary environment where there is a society, let's just assume, where different stimulation is going on, where they have a civilization to be part of. They are born and live on a UFO, and people see them as infants, as older babies, as, you know, all the way up into teenage years and young adult years. There.
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Hang on right there, David. Don't go away. I got some more things to ask you. We got to take a break here real quick. But, wow. Woo! I love this kind of stuff. Everybody stick with us. This is Connie Willis. I am with Dr. David M. Jacobs, and we have more to ask him about some ETs and hybrids that walk among us here on Coast to Coast AM. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Coast AM. If you want to learn a little bit more about me, you can go to coasttocoastam.com, and you can do it that way. I don't really care much about talking about myself. I love talking to these guys and learning more about what's really going on out there. I do love to connect the dots, and I do learn how much all the different paranormal things or strange anomalies do connect, actually. They really, really do. I've learned a lot along the way of ETs and telepathy and hybrids and all that kind of stuff. And then I met some of the Bigfoot people, and I started finding out that that stuff kind of rang true as well. They coincided together. So that's a whole nother show, and we'll get to that one day, I hope. Because that's very, very interesting. I learned a lot that way. But what we're doing tonight is talking to David Jacobs. He is a retired professor now of history at Temple University. He also taught UFO 101. That's absolutely incredible for anyone to have done that. He's the guy that did it. He also worked side by side with Bud Hopkins and the late Bud. I actually got to meet Bud, and that was quite an honor to meet him, because he's done so much research. Wonderful, wonderful man. And we know now that Dr. David Jacobs has all his goodies. He passed them on to David, and it's a lot of stuff to go through. And maybe we'll ask him about that in a few minutes here. But that's who we're talking to for the rest of this hour. And we're learning about hybrids and what they might be doing here. And what they're all about. Very interesting stuff. So we'll ask him a little bit more on that. We also have another one of my friends, and a lot of you guys know this man, Bishop James Long. Wait till you meet him if you have never heard from him before. He is an exorcist. He's an archbishop. He's got quite a different church. He'll tell you about that. And he's extremely educated man. He is right on the money with, he's a perfectionist. So you'll learn that as well. And besides talking about exorcisms with him and his demonology class, we're also going to talk to him about where God is with these ETs and Jesus. Is Jesus a hybrid? I mean, hey, half man, half God. What? Yeah, you know, I know that when I bring up these questions with some of my other friends, they think I'm a devil worshiper, but we'll see what Bishop James Long thinks about that. I'm really looking forward to hearing some of those answers. So that's what's going on tonight. I want to remind you, too, to check out Coast Insider. I just subscribed to this, and wow, I tell you what, I can't get enough of it. I love when I can actually walk, get my 5 miles in a day, and I can listen to the old Art Bell, or I can pick up something that Nori talked about just last week. And you know, tomorrow I can hear my show and see what I did. So that's something you might want to check out. A nice price for all the information that you get. And, you know, people like us, we cannot get enough of this type of information, right? We all want to learn. We all want to know what's really going on. And this is the place to do that. So when we come back, we'll talk to Dr. David Jacobs. We get to talk to him a little bit more, and we're going to find out if these hybrids that walk among us are safe, what they might be here for, what they're doing, and I'm looking forward to those answers, because are they dangerous or not? Why are they here? That's coming up here next with Dr. David Jacobs and myself here on Coast to Coast AM. Good morning. You're listening to Coast to Coast AM. Hi, I'm Connie Willis, and we are with Dr. David Jacobs, who is a big the man now to me when it comes to talking about abductees, contactees, abductions, what's going on with ETs and hybrids. And what we're talking about this hour is, do they walk among us? Do they live among us? And we left off with finding out if they are dangerous to us or why they're here. So, David, it's all on you to answer that question. You're the guy.
Well,
pressure.
We don't know why they're here. My sense is that this is a part of what I call planetary acquisition, that this is This is a global phenomenon. Now, I don't know whether it's every single country in the world, because I don't know what's going on in Thailand, for example, or some island nation somewhere. I don't know. But I do know that I have gotten reports from around the world and from all continents of people who have abduction symptoms, so to speak. They've had strange and unusual experiences that abductees have in great numbers and non-abductees don't have, basically. And people write to me all the time, every single day, from other countries saying they have been abducted and they remember this and they remember that and on and on and on. So we know that it is global, and we know it's been going on for quite a long time, back to the late 19th century. There's no evidence whatsoever that it has occurred, and that the program that we are looking at now stretches back to 3000 BC, for example.
Wow.
There's no evidence for that at all. I mean, who knows? What went on in the centuries ago? We don't really know about that stuff. But this particular situation, we can date back with a degree of certainty to the late 19th century, and so it's been going on for a while. And now that does not mean that beings have been coming down and living here for a while. That's sort of what it has been leading up to. There is a bureaucracy involved with this. There is this is a whole world unto itself. It's the more you learn, the more complicated it is, as it should be, because it should not be just a simple, easy thing, obviously. And that's what's been happening. In other words, we've got a lot of depth about this subject now. But I do think that this is planetary acquisition. And in fact, and here's where I'm going to sound like a total lunatic.
But, go ahead. It's okay.
It does sound like this is the process of taking over the planet. There, I said it.
Really?
But for what reasons, we do not know. Do not know. Now, let me just say, I like to say this because this is true. If this were psychological, we'd know. People would just make it up. Just like you're making everything else up, because it's all psychological. So they'd say, well, because, you know, they like our oceans, or they need our water, whatever it is that they would have. But we don't know. We just don't know. The beings, the insect-like beings who are the ones who are directing the program, in my opinion, do not say why they're doing this. And therefore, abductees don't know why they're doing it. And therefore, I don't know why they're doing it.
And that's where you get your information, through hypnosis, and you do this as scientifically as you possibly can by so many people have to say something so many times along the way before you count it as something that is really truly happening. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. You can't just come in and tell me something that I've never heard and say that, you know, and I expect me to start putting it in books and that sort of thing. There's a process by whereby something becomes evidence, and it has to be said by other people who are not aware of the evidence. Accounts that the previous person has been saying about this subject, and I've heard lots of things that are off the wall that have never been duplicated ever again. And that just lays in my files.
You know what? That would be a good book, David. That would be really a fun one to read, by the way.
Part of a training manual for how to do hypnosis.
That's
how to listen to things and how to believe and what not to believe.
Well, David, I've never heard you say that they are going to take over the planet. Is that what you said?
That is new. It is.
Wow.
New. And the evidence inevitably points to that. I can't get away from the pointing of the evidence. I wish I could. I wish it pointed in a bunch of different directions. But it is, in essence, what they say also to abductees. Soon we'll all be together.
Oh.
Soon everybody will be happy. Soon everybody will know his place. There's a lot more than that as well, obviously. Now, we have to talk about hypnosis a little bit here.
Okay.
Hypnosis is not totally fallacious. It's not totally bogus. Not 100%. That's the best thing you can say about
what?
It.
What? Okay.
It has some value. And when I get people just to be relaxed, I'm not a great hypnotist. I'm not going to make people think that they're a chicken and start clucking on the floor.
Thank you very much for that.
So I can't do that. I wish I could do that. That would be fun. But I can't do that. I don't do that sort of stuff. I just relax people and start asking them questions. I go through an induction that I copied basically from Bud, and it's just relaxation. In the books that I'm writing, there will be one person who had a lot of sessions with me, and then she began just to spontaneously remember what was happening to her. And there's a whole bunch of material in the book where it's just straight memory, and it is absolutely accurate, whereas straight memory without hypnosis of any sort, she had a lot of sessions with me in the beginning, straight memory is notoriously inaccurate. So when people say they remember this happening to them and they remember that happening to them, remember this happening that, generally speaking, when they come to me and say that, I say, well, that's very interesting. Let's take a look at it and see. And 9 times out of 10, they got things wrong. They forgot things. They said things that weren't quite true. They imagined things that didn't happen. And they're a little bit embarrassed about it in the beginning because they were so completely wound up and invested in those thoughts. But they quickly realized that this whole phenomenon is very different than they expected, and their effects on their memory are very different than they expected. And so when people have bleed-through memories of sort of complex events happening to them, you have to be extremely careful. Having said that, I do have this one woman her testimony is very, very solid. I've known her for about 15 years now. And there's other things too. I've worked with only 150 people, which is not that many, but a few of these people I worked with for decades, and so I can see change over time. And,
yeah, because you see them happening as a child being abducted. That's usually what happens. It happens in generation after generation, and then at one point they go through the hybridization part, you know, and all the sexual stuff going on so that they can make these hybrids. And then it goes into where they start learning how to live like us from the abductees.
Right. The ones who's
where you're at now.
Right. That's what I'll be writing about. And the ones whose function is to live here are obviously the important ones, because that is the whole reason for the program. Now, you have to remember, when you say, is it good for us or bad for us, just keep this one concept in mind that is irrefutable. If you believe that there is such a thing as UFOs and aliens and all that, if you want to come into my bizarre world and sort of go along with that, the one irrefutable statement that I can make is that this is a clandestine phenomenon. It is secret. People are made to forget what happened to them seconds after it happens to them, and everybody is in agreement about that. If this exists, it is clandestine. And the reason it is secretive is they don't want us to know what they're doing.
That's right, so irrefutable. That's why you don't, right?
That's why you don't, but there is a reason why they don't want us to know what they're doing. It's not for our benefit. If it was for our benefit, they'd be happy to tell us. But it is not for our benefit. It is for their benefit. And
you have to have a theory, though, right?
Well, no, I do think that this is planetary acquisition, but I don't know why. You can guess,
Tell me your guess. No, tell me your guess.
Well, I'm just in the book. I throw out some guesses. You know, maybe they want resources. Maybe there's some sort of geopolitical situation where with civilizations who control more planets have more power. You know, you don't know. It's just taking questions out of the air. Really, there's no evidence for why. We don't know the why.
If they wanted to totally take over too, they could just, zap us out and move forward. But they do want to blend in with us, so it doesn't seem too terribly awful right now.
Not now. Time is on their side also, but they don't want us to know what they're doing. Now, secrecy suggests that they might have a weakness.
Oh.
That if it wasn't secret, if everybody knew and everybody accepted the fact, they might be in danger in some way. You know,
that makes sense.
The amount of people who have studied the abduction phenomenon compared to the population of the world would be, let's just say, small. So there's only a handful of people who have studied this subject, really, and the academic and scientific community is not that they're just not interested. That would be wonderful. That would be a huge victory for abduction researchers if they're not interested. They are not only not interested, but they're aggressively hostile to the subject. They are ridiculing. These scientists ridicule as well. I mean, they're just they're so far removed from it. But these people are smart people. They're one hell of a lot smarter than I am. I'll say that. And if a lot of intelligent people got together and seriously studied this subject, they might be able to come up with some kind of way to stop it. That is my theory, and that theory is wrong. And the reason it's wrong, because most people don't know that they're abductees. And it's global in nature.
Okay, let me ask you this. If something's going to happen, whenever it is going to happen, and it sounds like soon, does anybody win here? Are the abductees who have taught these creatures everything and where, they've been an abductee all their life and their mothers and fathers or whoever, because it goes down in generations, by studying what you have studied and found. So does anybody win? Is anybody better off when these things take over?
Yes, the insect-like beings.
Ah, well do the abductees get an award or anything for helping at all, or they go down in the ship as well? I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I do not know what the end game is. I don't know how it's going to be played out in the end. There's that has not been told to me yet. Now, if I had another 100 years to live, and if I had all the energy and all the money in the world to keep doing this research with intensity, I might find out. You know, it's possible, because when you read this new book that will be published by Hampton Roads Press, you'll find out that everything that I've written here has a logic to it. It's all logical. This is a rigidly logical phenomenon. But in fact, they're only doing it because it benefits them. They don't particularly care about us one way or the other. So it's got to benefit somebody. They're not doing it just to pass the time,
Yeah. And you know what, before, because I know we're getting closer to the end, let me ask you something that I'm going to be asking Bishop James Long later on when it comes to the exorcisms and ghosts and spirits and things like that. Two quick questions, if you can give these to me. Do you believe there are ghosts? And the other question is, I answer that one. I'll remember what the other one is because I forgot right now because I want to know, do you believe there are ghosts? Oh, and sleep paralysis. What do you think that is?
The majority of people who I have had experiences that I've looked at since 1986 are not asleep. Are not asleep, period. They're up, they're at the daytime, or they're watching television, or they're laying in bed, watching television and reading a book.
So sleep paralysis is they are stuck, and it's not really, they're stuck in a dream. It's something else going on. So you know what? We have to cut you off. I hope that we get to talk to you again, Dr. David Jacobs. I love you very, very much. It's always fun to talk to you. I hope we can get together for some Asian food here soon because I know we're not too far away from each other. So, David, thank you. And everybody, stick around because we have Bishop James Long coming up. We're going to talk about exorcisms, demonology, and all kinds of other great stuff. I'm Connie Willis here for Coast to Coast AM.